This isn't the sermon that I thought I would be preaching today. The Sunday after our great celebration of renewed ministry last Sunday. It's not completely unlike that sermon, however, what it would have been. But developments in this past week, both for us as a church family, a faith community incarnate in this time and place, and internationally for us as the Episcopal Church, have led to a different sermon, as well they should. Because, as I like to say, our faith story, is not a fairy tale with limited application, but is rather a true living story that speaks to all of our stories and just gets more real and goes deeper, touches us more deeply when we bring ourselves and what is real in our lives to it, into conversation with it. And when I say it, I mean God's story of salvation for all of us and for the whole world. And by the way, this is why it's so important to be part of a church community and not just be a spiritual person who takes a walk in the woods on Sunday to commune with God. Yes, God is in the woods, and that's not a bad thing to do at all. But it's here in Christian community that we help each other understand this great story of salvation. Understand not just in our heads, but in our hearts, too. We help each other discern God's word for us as individuals and as a community. We help each other with the Spirit working through us to go deeper into joy, as well as to find God even in the sorrow and in times of challenge. The Spirit gives us gifts for the common good, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Last Sunday's service, the renewal of our ministry and the welcoming of our new rector was taken from a resource called Enriching Our Worship. And that service has enriched the Episcopal Church's way of celebrating our new ministry by emphasizing that it is our ministry, all of ours, the ministry of all the baptized, the ministry of the community gathered. Which is why, living into our new reality, that Martha, our director of music for 25 years, has a new call from God, is both an occasion for grief, but also celebration. Perhaps for confusion, but also for faith. For tears and hugs and affirming words of understanding and gratitude and blessing. Now, today is not Martha's last Sunday with us. That will be February 14th. But given the magnitude of what's happening, I want us to start considering it and living into it from the faith perspective together as a community. Together, with God's help, we can honor Martha and ourselves with a good leave-taking experience. And good means real, loving, with sorrow and gratitude, and maybe even some hope in the possibilities for Martha and for us. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians speaks to us of God's power to work through a faith community by giving us every gift that we need to be the community God is calling us to be. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In this reading, some gifts are named, such as wisdom, knowledge, faith, gifts of healing and discernment among them. In other places in Scripture, we hear of other gifts of the Spirit. What society calls skills, we call gifts, because we know that we have been created in God's image and that our abilities are gifts from God and that everyone has a gift to share, no matter what your age, no matter anything. Everyone, every single person has a gift to share. For 25 years, Martha has shared her gifts with us. Gifts of musical ability, gifts of teaching, gifts in community building, gifts for ministry beyond music, such as working with our Hokoiko group, caring for our creation. I could go on and on, Each of you knows and has experienced Martha and her gifts in many ways. We are, the church we are, certainly liturgically, musically, and in other ways, largely because of Martha's gifts and her leadership, especially during some difficult times in past years. And we won't lose that. Through Martha, God has given us gifts that we get to keep and build on, even as we have to let Martha go, as she has in faith discerned and accepted a new call to share her gifts in a new place. This is actually how it's supposed to work. As hard as it is, this is actually how it's supposed to happen. That someone serves with you for, in this case, a huge amount of time, but say a good amount of time, and through discernment and prayer and everything, this, the person and another community calling her has discerned that she's called to a new place. Many of you who've been here a long time don't have much experience with this sort of leaving. You know what I mean. So it's new, and it can actually be a good thing. As hard as it is, it can actually be good. And so while we get to be sad and grieve, we also live into the gratitude that we have. And this sort of living into gratitude is a living into the Spirit, which can be such a blessing. We will live into this over the next weeks while Martha is still with us. And we will honor her and God by continuing to live into that gratitude as we move forward in faith as a community. The community God has created and will continue to create. As Pat Wingo, our preacher from last Sunday, put it, welcome is at the heart of being God's people. And he said, welcome is at its core, trusting in and becoming the hospitality of God. We welcome all those new things that God has done, and we welcome those new things that we trust God will work within us and among us to accomplish through us. We welcome those new things that we trust God will work within us and among us to accomplish through us. It may be hard, I know it is hard, to welcome this new thing God is doing in Martha's life and in our life as a community. Initially, I wasn't doing very well with it myself. Not at all. Why? Because I was trying to figure it all out. Trying to get my head around it. My head was just exploding with it. Wasn't really sure how to handle it, what it would mean. So I was thinking a lot and not sleeping that much. And thinking, as we know, which is, as you know, a gift of mine as it is many of yours, our greatest gifts can also be our greatest weakness if they, in a sense, become idols and distract us from God. Because maybe this isn't so much about thinking at all, right? Maybe it's just about feeling. So it was on day 3 of this new reality that I prayed with the suggested verse for January 14th from our booklet some of us are using entitled First We Were Loved. I've been finding this, and I'll admit to you, I haven't used it every day. But the days that I have, often it's striking how it seems to fit, how God's right there for me in it. In a sense, we all have a spiritual director through this booklet encouraging us to pray with this. And on that day, she was encouraging us to use these verses from Isaiah, Isaiah 46, 3 through 4, and to insert our name in the place of Israel. So if I inserted my name, it would be, listen to me, Hillary, and you might insert your name. Listen to me, Holy Comforter. You have been born by me, in the sense of upheld. You have been born by me from your birth, carried from the womb. Even to your old age, I am he. Even when you turn gray, I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear. I will carry, and will save. Thinking less and praying with this passage has helped me to know on a level deeper than my intellect that God already has this in hand and says, listen to me. Listen to me, God says to all of us. God is carrying all of this with us. God is a big part of the new reality. It may take time to welcome it, but as it is of God, we will all be blessed in this new thing. Martha will be blessed, we will be blessed, and God will work within us and among us to accomplish through us this new thing. That might really have been enough for a sermon on this day. If it were not for the fact of, someone came in today and I said, have you heard the news? And she thought I was talking about the primates meeting because she hadn't gotten the letter yet. So I just have to say a couple things about that. I'm not going to go on and on. But there's a lot in the news about what we call the primates. The primates are the head of the Anglican churches throughout the world. To give an example of what that means, Michael Curry is the presiding bishop and primate of the Episcopal Church. The Anglican Communion is vast and is throughout the world with different autonomous churches. If you're new to all this Anglican Communion conversation, I'm not going to be able to give you enough information today to explain it fully, but there's a lot on the internet about it. I've linked some of the better things to my Facebook page. To summarize, around two-thirds of the primates think that the Episcopal Church really shouldn't be part of the Anglican Communion at all because we voted for marriage equality at our last General Convention. Many of these are the same people and ways of thinking about Christianity in their contexts who wanted us out when we started ordaining women. So none of this is new at all. The primates, by about a two-thirds vote, and there are different words being used for this. Sanctioned, disciplined the Episcopal Church, trying to, by saying that we can't sit and vote in certain boards, entities, which in fact they have no authority over to tell those groups what to do. But anyway, I bring all this up today really to be clear about a couple things. That our primate, Michael Curry, and our Episcopal Church, and we at Holy Comforter, are offering a great gift, a gift of the Holy Spirit for the common good to the whole Anglican Communion. We offer this gift through the power of the Spirit to all Christians of all denominations for the common good. And it's interesting that while people talk about upsetting people in the Anglican Communion, very rarely do people think about the gay, lesbian, transgender, folks in these other places in the world who are very much supported by what we've done. Those are the people in real danger. And so it's very important that we do what we do here for them. Where was I? We've been praying in the Episcopal Church and listening to the Spirit, and we stand by our baptismal vows to respect the dignity of every human being. And part of doing that, as I've just been saying, supporting people of all genders, sexual orientations, and blessing all of our marriages. This is a gift that we, as the Church of the Holy Comforter, many of you here, had wanted to give for a long time before the Episcopal Church as a whole allowed for the blessings and marriage of same-sex couples. I was one of our deputies to our General Convention this past summer. I had the privilege and honor of being able to vote for marriage equality. I voted for it then, and I'm even more thankful now that we did. In my opinion, the only way, if there is a way, to change hearts and minds about marriage equality and LGBT issues generally is to live our lives and run our church, Holy Comforter and the Episcopal Church, in a way that makes God's reign visible now rather than delaying justice. Delaying justice never helps. As a community of faith, we offer so many gifts for the common good to each other and the wider world. The actions by the primates will not stop our ministry in Tanzania, the gifts that we offer the children in the village of Mzula. I actually contacted Buck Blanchard after the primates meeting, who Buck is our director of mission and outreach for the diocese, to confirm what I believed, but I just wanted to hear it from him, that the true strength of the Anglican Communion is found in our relationships. And Buck does not anticipate that the primate's vote will affect the Carpenter's Kids program that we support, which helps these poor, poor children in a poor, poor place. Helping the poorest of the poor, what we're called to do, that the actions by people, well, I better stop. This is who we are as Holy Comforter. Many, many of you have gifts for helping others. This is what we call outreach ministry when we do it as a church. I'll conclude this sermon and wrap it up for us by looking at our gospel reading for today. Into an everyday event, Jesus, God, shows up. God shows up for us. The wine has run out. They don't seem to have what they need. There's only water left. But Jesus does something that no one could have expected. Jesus does something that did not make any sense, logically. He turns the water into wine. You may wish to pray with this story. Put yourself into the scene. How do you feel when the wine runs out? What does Jesus say to you about how you feel, about what's happening? What does Jesus do? What does he want to do for you, for us? God is making all things new. God makes provision for us what is needed. We have seen that in our lives, in the life of our church, in the life of the Episcopal Church. We have seen the provision of God, and we will see it again and again. Amen. Amen.